There's an adage which goes like this. Facts don't change people's lives. Stories do. Clearly the adage is for those who write narrative, those who come from the literary community, who believe that you can throw heaps of data or information upon someone, but if you can craft a story, give them a narrative with a protagonist, a hero, a heroine, a villain, that somehow it will capture their imagination, the story will touch their hearts, they'll remember it, and they'll change. I believe Jesus often subscribed to that adage, or else why would he have taught us in parable instead of discourse after discourse? And on this first Sunday of Lent, we encounter such a narrative. Rather than hear stories from Jesus, rather hear instructions on why we should not fall prey to temptation, we have this powerful story of Jesus versus the devil being tempted. Frankly, I'm surprised Hollywood has never made it into a movie. Couldn't you see Al Pacino or Jack Nicholson as the devil there on the parapet of Malibu, looking out over Santa Monica and Capitol Records and all of Los Angeles, or pick some other vista in the United States and the world, and you get some very likable person, I don't know, Tom Hanks or whoever the likable person is this day, to play Jesus and resist the temptation and smooth talking of the devil. Well, they haven't turned it into a movie, but it's safe to say it has captured our imagination, and that is a good thing. Because we who believe in the incarnation, that Jesus was one like us, see how he too fell prey to temptation, how he too struggled like us. And in the end, in this passage from Luke, he is invincible and turns away from the devil. That's the good news. The danger in hearing a narrative like this is we can believe that Jesus conquered temptation once and for all after he walked away from the devil and everything that the devil offered him. Because isn't that how most movies and most stories go? They roll the credits and we say, this character was good, this character was bad, end of story. But it would be wrong to reduce Jesus' temptation to one narrative or one story, because he faced temptation his whole life, all the way up to the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, let this bitter cup pass me by. And we need to know that we walk with him in facing this temptation. For those of us who have begun this holy season of Lent, we may look at this gospel and say, my God, what Jesus has given up pales in comparison to what I have given up. I worked with someone who gave up chocolate. She was so proud, and she had her hands beating against her head at 1 o'clock on Ash Wednesday when she said, I just had 6 M&Ms. I couldn't even make it till sunset. I know someone else who decided that they were no longer going to use any curse words, and in a phone call before noon had broken the promise. And the temptation that so many feel is, oh, I couldn't even do it Ash Wednesday. How am I going to do 40 days? We look at Jesus in the narrative and we say, I am useless. He is God. And we walk away from the season of Lent. That's not what we're being invited to do. And that's not why we receive this gospel. It's interesting. Do we ever think of Jesus' relationship with God, his Father? Do we ever think that the 40 days in the desert were not about a superhero evading the devil, but one who slowly grew to know the love of the Father, the will of the Father, and the mission of the Father? And can we imagine ourselves in this desert, listening to God, learning from God, and receiving the love of God? This is the year of mercy. What began on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception with Pope Francis opening the holy door in Rome, the door of mercy. And we know that that mercy is extended to all of us, a mercy which doesn't care if we ate 6 M&Ms having given up chocolate for Lent on Ash Wednesday. It doesn't care what our sins are. It cares that we have a humbled, contrite heart and we want a relationship with God. But what is that image of God? And do we, like Christ in the gospel, walk with God? You know, there's a million stories about Pope Francis, but one of my favorite happened in September of 2001. We all know what happened September 11th, 2001. And looking out here, most of us can remember where we were on that day. On that day, Pope Francis was in Rome. He was attending a consistory, which is a gathering of cardinals. And at that meeting, he was teamed with Cardinal Egan, the former Archbishop of New York, and the two of them were supposed to present. Only Cardinal Egan found out that his city had been under attack, and his people were asking, "Where is our shepherd at our time of greatest need?" And so Cardinal Egan had to leave the consistory, which left the Archbishop of Buenos Aires, a relatively unknown man, there to stand up and say something to the cardinals gathered in consistory. And his remarks give us a very powerful image of his impression of God and his understanding of mercy. He talked about the difference between overseeing and keeping watch. Listen to what then Cardinal Bergoglio, now Pope Francis, said in 2001. He said, "Overseeing refers more to a concern for doctrine and habits, whereas keeping watch is more about making sure that there be salt and light in people's hearts. Watching over speaks of being alert to imminent dangers. Keeping watch, on the other hand, speaks of patiently bearing the processes through which the Lord carries out the salvation of his people. To watch over, it is enough to be awake and quick. To keep watch, you need also to be meek, patient, and constant in proven charity. Overseeing and watching over suggest a certain degree of necessary control. Keeping watch, on the other hand, suggests hope, the hope of the merciful Father who keeps watch over the processes in the hearts of his children." In our prayer this Lent, who is God? The overseer, the one who watches over us, takes inventory of our Lenten observance, and takes stock of what we do and don't do? Or does God keep watch with us, loving us, holding us, mercifully caring for us? I believe in my heart that Jesus survived the temptation of the devil because he believed that God kept watch with him, that God his Father loved him like a father loves his son, and helped him to see that in the end, love triumphs over power, over control, over self-satisfaction. Let us have that same hope, that same faith, that same image of God this Lent, and see the joy that can befall us on Easter.